Martin was ready to go to jail. However, the police chief did not want people to feel sorry for Martin or to think badly of the police. So he paid Martin's fine himself. He said it was to save the taxpayers the cost of feeding King for 14 days. Stabbed. In September 1958, Martin's first book was published. He went to many bookshops to sign his name and copies of his book. One day, he went to a bookshop in Harlem, the Negro part of New York. He was signing his name and a copy of his book when a black woman walked up to him. "Are you Dr. King?" "Yes, I am." "Luther King, I've been after you for 5 years." There was a flash of steel as the woman pulled a knife from her clothing. She plunged it into Martin's chest. The knife was still sticking in his chest when he was taken to hospital. It was touch and go whether Martin would live. The point of the knife was so near his heart that the head surgeon said later, if he had sneezed, he would have died straight away. In order to get the knife out of his chest, 2 of his ribs had to be removed. The woman who had stabbed Martin was called Mrs. Curry. She was quite mad. She kept saying that church ministers had caused her a lot of trouble. She was sent to a mental hospital. Slowly, Martin got better. He and his wife felt that God had a purpose in all this. Perhaps it was a test of their faith. Perhaps it was to force Martin to rest and take things quietly for a time. Perhaps it was to help the civil rights movement gain more sympathy and support from white people. Perhaps it was to prepare them for something that was still to come. Certainly, believing in God helped Martin to be calm during this time of suffering. Sit-ins and freedom rides. In 1960, Martin decided to give up being minister at the Baptist Church in Montgomery. He wanted to give more time to the civil rights movement. Its headquarters was in Atlanta, so Martin became the joint minister at his father's church in Atlanta. It was in 1960 that the sit-in was used as a form of protest by American Negroes. Whites, who thought blacks were being treated unfairly, joined with blacks in taking action. Together, they would sit in at cafes and lunch counters in big city shops where blacks and whites were supposed to be kept apart and be served in different areas. It was during these sit-ins that the song "We Shall Overcome" first became popular. It became the song of the civil rights movement. Many suffered for what they did. They had their hair pulled. They were burnt with cigarette ends. They were beaten up. Many were arrested, including Martin. He was in jail 3 times during 1960 and 1961. The picture shows Martin Luther King and his friend Ralph Abernathy being arrested after trying to enter a restaurant where Negroes were refused service. Most sit-ins were a success. Hundreds of cafes and shops stopped keeping black and white customers apart. However, some parts of the United States still had buses in which black people and white people could not sit together. So, in 1961, the Freedom Rides started. Groups of young people, both black and white, would get on buses going from one state to another. They would sit together, both on the buses and in the cafes along the way. Once in Montgomery, a mob of 300 angry whites formed a circle round a bus as it stopped. The first Freedom Rider to get off the bus was a white man. "Kill the nigger-loving son of a bitch," screamed a woman. Men rushed in and beat the young man until he passed out and fell to the ground. He lay in the street for an hour before an ambulance could get to him. At Anniston, Alabama, a bus was blown up with firebomb. As the Freedom Riders staggered from the blazing bus, they were beaten with iron bars. One of the places where black people were treated worst was Birmingham, Alabama. In 1963, Martin and the civil rights movement decided to protest there. In April, sit-ins and protest marches were held. Within a week, nearly 500 black people had been arrested. On Good Friday, Martin led a march and was arrested too. He was in jail for 8 days. Shortly afterwards, 1,000 teenagers were arrested for taking part in a youth march. On the following day, another 1,000 children and teenagers marched. Fire hoses were turned on them. Children were knocked flat, their clothes soaked and ripped. Police dogs were let off their leads and ran wild. They bit first one child, then another. Some of the older black people could not stand by and do nothing. They began to throw stones and bottles at the police. There were pictures in the newspapers and on television of young people flattened by jets of water, beaten up by the police, and bitten by dogs. It caused a storm of angry letters and telegrams to the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. The President helps. The President sent Burke Marshall, who was Assistant Attorney General in charge of civil rights, to Birmingham to bring about peace. Peace came. Shops stopped serving blacks and whites in separate places. There were to be more jobs open to black people. All charges against the marchers were dropped. Regular meetings were to be held between black and white leaders. Then, in August 1963, Martin led a march in Washington for jobs and freedom. About 250,000 people, white as well as black, took part in the march. At the Lincoln Memorial, Martin spoke to the vast crowd. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the sort of persons they are. I have a dream that one day all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the black people's old song, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'" The march showed America that all blacks and very many whites now believed that everyone was equal, whatever their race or colour. Some whites, however, still thought that blacks should not be treated the same as themselves. Less than 3 weeks after the Washington march, someone put a bomb in a church in Birmingham. It went off when the Sunday school was being held. 4 young black girls were killed. Later, in 1963, President Kennedy was murdered. Martin told his wife, "This is what's going to happen to me also." The picture shows the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. Martin knew he had enemies. He knew he might be shot at or stabbed at any time. In 1964, the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, the American detective organization, warned Martin to be careful. It had found out that the Ku Klux Klan, a secret society of whites who were anti-black, were trying to hire a hitman to kill Martin for a fee of $2,000. In January 1965, Martin was standing in the entrance hall of a hotel in Selma, Alabama. A white man came up behind him and hit him on the head. Martin had a headache for several days to remind him of the attack. A month later, the FBI claimed to have stopped an attempt to kill Martin in Atlanta. Some black leaders were becoming impatient. They thought that the only way to get justice for the black people in America was to fight for it. Martin did not agree. He was determined to keep to peaceful ways, even when he was attacked. The right to vote. In the autumn of 1964, Martin was told that he had won the Nobel Peace Prize. This is an award given each year to someone who has done much to encourage peace or to stop violence. Martin went to Norway to receive the prize. The prize was $54,000, about £30,000. But Martin did not keep it for himself. He gave it away to several freedom movements and organisations which were trying to get equal rights for black people. The civil rights movement moved to Selma. In February 1965, Martin led a march there calling for all black people to have the right to vote. He was arrested again. In March, another freedom march took place in Selma. State troopers blocked the road. The marchers were ordered to stop. They were given 2 minutes to turn back. Less than a minute went by before the order was given. "Troopers, forward." 60 troopers charged into the unarmed marchers to the cry of, "Get those goddamn niggers." Tear gas grenades were thrown at the marchers. They were beaten with clubs and slashed with whips. "March, nigger. You wanted to march, and now I'm going to help you," screamed one trooper as he whipped a young boy. Over 60 people were injured by this cruelty.